Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. Now Jesus, and we pick this up, Jesus has been born, and we pick this up in verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. The name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority, change our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing this Advent series called Heaven Sent. Heaven Sent. This week is Simeon's first Christmas. I told you a few months ago, that all throughout my childhood I wanted a horse. And Lori thankfully hooked me up with a horse the other day. It's, by the way, in my bedroom leaning up against the wall. Doesn't eat much either. That's the great news. But I always wanted this horse. But I can remember I was born in Winters, Texas, and 40 miles south of here. The population cut in half when we left town. But moved here when I was six, and I can remember shortly after that, I had this small little bike, and I was a big guy, you know, in second grade. And I can remember I wanted, how many of you remember the banana seats? Yeah? Banana seats. Kid, have those come back? Are they back? Some things just should never come back, and that's one of them. That and bell bottoms, hip huggers, those things shouldn't come back. But anyway, I wanted a bike. All my friends had these bikes with the banana seats. And I just wanted this bike. And Mom and Dad had, I don't know if they had promised, but at least in my mind, they had promised me a banana seat bike for Christmas. So I was really excited about that. And Christmas came, and I opened this little box under the tree, and it was just a little dinky box, and it had a note in it. And this note, my dad kind of writes poems, and he had some little poem that led me somewhere else in the house to a closet or something, and then I went and there was another box with a note in it, and then that led me to some other, and we did that to our kids. It's kind of cruel and unusual punishment, but you lead them all over the house, and then it led me outside, and it finally, one gift after another, it finally led me. We had this little pump house where our pump for our well was, and it led me to the pump house, and I opened the pump house door, and there it was. In all its shining glory, Mom and Dad had come through. I had, and this wasn't just a bike with a banana seat, but it had tiger grips. It had, I mean, literally the head of a tiger was on the end of the grips. And so, I mean, and then the seat was colored like a tiger, the tiger stripes on the seat. And I'm telling you, I was the envy of the neighborhood. It was, Kevin, you should have seen me, man. I looked good on that tiger banana seat. You see, Mom and Dad had promised, and there was this eager expectation of them delivering on their promise. We pick up this scripture today, and God Himself had promised Simeon that he would see the Christ, the Messiah. He would not die until he had seen him. And so he's led by the Spirit. We're going to pick it up, and we're going to see, and I call this Simeon's first Christmas. What did we learn from Simeon? First thing, Simeon was taught by the Word of God. There was a righteous man in verse 25. There was a righteous man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means the salvation of Israel, the redemption of Israel. So he was, why do you think that just popped into his head that he was expecting a Messiah? Perhaps, see, all of Old Testament prophecy, the prophets foretold of this coming Messiah. And so, because he was a man of the Word of God, because he knew the Word of God, he was anticipating this coming of this salvation for Israel. So we know that he was someone who was in the Word of God. Second thing, Simeon was led by the Spirit of God. He was led by the Spirit of God. Verse 25 goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Then he was moved by the Spirit to act. Do you see the handiwork of the Holy Spirit in Simeon's life? As I'm stepping through these things, Simeon died a long time ago. We're not really all that concerned with Simeon. What we're concerned with is you and I. I want you to, as we step through these attributes, these different things that Simeon was led by and so forth, I want you to begin to look at yourself and ask yourself, am I led by the Spirit of God? And the first thing in regards to being led by the Spirit of God is being sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that's what Billy was talking about just a moment ago as we were led into worship, is this yearning for something that song we sang, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His name. There's this yearning for the things of God. This yearning for the Spirit to be active in our lives, to be showing us what He would have us to do and what He would have us to not do. Simeon was obviously a man led by the Spirit of God. Third thing, Simeon was obedient to the will of God. He was obedient to the will of God. It says in verse 27 that he was moved by the Spirit and he went into the temple courts. Now, this could have read in another version, if this could have played out, the Spirit was upon him. It was revealed to the Spirit that he would not die. He was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple courts and he didn't go. You ever thought about that? The Spirit was upon him. It had revealed things to him. And now it was moving him to action. What if Simeon had stayed home? How many times are we led by the Spirit to do something and we just stay home? That's too much bother. That would cost me something. Maybe my time, maybe my energy, maybe money. There's too much cost in that. And Simeon was obedient. He was moved by the Spirit and he was obedient to the will of God. Fourth thing, Simeon trusted in the promises of God. Now, it says in verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. as you have promised. Did you know, church, that we have a faithful God? When He promises something, He comes through. And I won't go into it in depth, but He made promises to Cheryl and I when we were making the transition from the business world to the ministry. He made promises to us. And I can remember, I've told this story before, but I can remember I expected those promises to just start happening immediately. But there was about a year and a half there where God was silent. And that's, at least that's where I was at. I was waiting for doors to fling open, and some of them that I thought were ready to fling open kept shutting, and things were not happening. And I can remember, I've told this before, that I went for my annual jog. You remember that? And think about that for just a second, my annual jog. Actually, that's probably a little more often than I jog. But I can remember one day that I was just at the end of my rope. I just thought, God, You've promised all these things. And I remember being just at my wit's end, and I just told Cheryl, I said, I'm just going to go run. I got to go do something. I'm just going to go run. And you could have pushed her over with a feather because I was actually going to run. She knew something was serious. And I can remember I was actually running on Fairway Oaks, the cart paths. And I remember running, and I ran till I was almost ready to drop. And I remember stopping, and I was just scolding God. Did you know God loves us enough to let us scold Him if we need to scold Him? He had every right. He should have just zapped me right there. That's what He should have done. But instead, He listened. And I remember saying to God, God, I've trusted You. I've put my family at risk, and I've trusted You. Where are You? And I remember God just speaking so gently to my heart, and He said, Jeff, I'm breaking you. I'm breaking you. Because I want you to know that you can't count on anything or anyone but Me. I'm all you've got. And I am faithful. And He was breaking me. And I remember my response to God at that moment. I said, then break Me. Break Me. Don't stop until it's complete. I want to be completely broken. I want to be completely Yours. Because I know that You're all I have. God then came through. And I've told you guys before, y'all are a big, big piece of God's faithfulness to us and our family, to me and my family. God is faithful. When He promises something, He delivers. You can trust Him. I want us to just, you know, for Simeon, the promise was, you will see My Messiah. You will see the Christ. Don't fret. Before you die, you will see Him. You will look Him nose to nose, face to face. You will see Him. And God came through. What does He promise us? The first, and these are, as I look through God's Word to begin to just kind of hit some of the highlights of what God promises us. Do you know that His promises are so numerous? I could preach 1,000 sermons and never get to the end of His promises to us. God promises so many things to us. But these are just some of them that the Lord laid on my heart to share with you. The first thing is that God promises relationship. God promises relationship. We don't have this God up in the sky that just zaps us when we're bad and blesses us when we're good and gives us a bunch of rules to do this but don't do this. We have a God that came to us, became one of us to save us. And we have this God who tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you walk through. And I look around the room and I see people right here in this congregation who have walked some tragic roads. And I know that they can attest to you that God never leaves you or forsakes you. And Jesus Himself said that, He said, it's imperative that I go. When He was resurrected, He said, I've got to go. And it was sad in the disciples. He said, but I have to go so that I can send the Spirit. I will send the Spirit, He says, the Counselor, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, He lives with you. And here's the cool part. He will be in you. The God of the universe not only came in flesh to dwell among us and to die for us, but then when He ascended back to heaven, He sent His Spirit to dwell in us. Do we get that? Do we really get that? That's big, church. God loves us enough to make relationship with us and to make union with us, to be in us. And listen to Romans chapter 8. For I am convinced, Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, nor any depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's strong, church. That's strong. God promises relationship. The second promise I want to highlight today, God promises comfort and healing for the brokenhearted. If you are broken, you're in just the right place for God to just engulf you with His love and His comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Not some of our troubles, not most of our troubles, but all of our troubles. Jesus started His ministry by quoting from the Old Testament, and He said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Psalms 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Man, have you ever been crushed in spirit? Have you ever just felt like your world was collapsing in on you? God specializes in healing the crushed in spirit. Third promise I want us to look at, God promises peace beyond circumstances. It says that Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but I do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So there's this peace that transcends circumstances, transcends our understanding, our ability to understand. Jesus, this is one of my favorite passages. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Man, aren't you glad we have a God like that? That promises that He will give us rest? Fourth promise, God promises eternal life. I use this scripture a lot when I do funerals, and the scripture is Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he said that we as believers, we as the body of Christ, grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that Jesus will come again. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great promise that we have, that God loves us, that God provides eternal life for us. And the fifth thing that I want to, moving on to the last thing of Simeon. Simeon was privileged to see the salvation of God. Verse 30, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. So, and he goes on to say, light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Guess what, church? Guess who Gentiles are? Us. Unless you're of Jewish origin, you're a Gentile. So, his salvation was not just for Israel. His salvation... And Simeon knew this. He knew this because the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him, and he also knew it because he had read God's Word. His salvation is for all people. I want you to think about the people you know in Abilene, Texas. Just let some names just fly into your mind. Some people you know at work. Maybe you live out of town. Where the area that you spend most of your time. Just think about people. Now I want you to think about another set of people. Those that just went through your mind, which of those don't deserve Christ? Let those faces fly through your mind. I mean, which is everyone that we have the ability to reach right here in this room, is everyone that's within our reach to share the good news of Jesus Christ here this morning? Yes? No? There's more? You mean there's more? We've probably got 250 or so folks this morning. Is there more? Or does this say, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight for those 250 people at Wiley Methodist on December the 11th, 2011. I thought it said all people. Church, do we have a passion? Do we understand that eternity is at stake? I am so thankful. And it's more than just being in church. It's about this personal relationship with a Savior that loves us and died for us. I'm so thankful that I met Him. I'm so thankful that I had godly parents that steered me towards Christ. And I had friends and people that steered me towards Christ. And I'm so thankful that I stand before you this morning and I tell you, this is not a boastful statement, but I tell you I'm going to heaven when I die. I just am. So, Cheryl, if I get hit going to the car out in the parking lot today, don't worry about me. Girls, don't worry about me. Because I've got eternity to look forward to. And I have that to look forward to, not because of anything I've done. In fact, in spite of what I've done. I have a Savior that died for me, that took the nails for me. Do you know that Savior? Do you know Him? Or is it just, I probably should be good today and go to church. Mom and Dad taught me that that's what good Christians do. We go to church. So I'll try to go to church more often. I mean, is that what it's about? If that's what it's about, let's go home. Let's go home. We're wasting our time. We come here to worship this Savior that we're precious to. Do you understand you're precious to Him? And He wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you through everything this life throws at you. I'm so glad I know Him. And I want you to know Him. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. How about you this morning? Have you seen your salvation? Have you looked Him face to face, nose to nose? Have you been like that with Jesus? Simeon, I could just imagine him just holding Him up to His face and looking at Him and saying, Praise you, God, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Have you looked at Him nose to nose? I want to ask the praise team to come up. You know, it was so important for Simeon to see the salvation that Christ provided, that God provided through Christ. It was so important for him to see that before he died. I just want to tell you this morning, church, it's still important for us to see God's salvation before we die. I want you, if you would, we're going to sing the first verse and chorus of this closing song. And I just ask the praise team to sing this. And I'd ask if you'd close your eyes. As they sing it to us, this first verse and chorus, I want to ask you, I want to invite you, if you don't know for absolutely sure that you know Jesus and you want that this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand when we start singing in just a minute. If that's you, I'll give you another opportunity in just a minute to raise your hand. I don't want to make it embarrassing for anybody to come forward or any of that kind of stuff. I just want you in the privacy of your own seat to just raise your hand and let me see that as the praise team leads us. That's you as we sing. Okay, you can place your hands down. Let's all stand and finish singing that song. If you were one of the ones that I saw raise your hand, please come and see me after the service and let's visit for a minute. God bless you guys.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you?
Everybody, get your hands and kind of pretend you're holding a baby, and just kind of hold them right here, right in front of you. Just do like you're holding a baby. And I want you to repeat after me: Sovereign Lord,
my eyes have seen your
salvation. Amen. Go in peace and go and tell someone. Well, you're dismissed.